This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Last year's shootings at Emmanuel AMA Church in Charleston, South Carolina, reignited conversations about race and violence, gun control, and perhaps most prominently, whether symbols like the Confederate battle flag deserve a prominent place in present-day America. 9 people were killed in that shooting. The victims were people of faith, and for the friends and family who survived them, the goal of the ongoing dialogue is reconciliation. One of the many lessons that the Reverend Clement of Pinckney taught at his congregation at Emmanuel AME, and one man hoping to continue that conversation is Reverend Kylon Middleton. He's the pastor at Mount Zion AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and a good friend of Reverend Pinckney. Going to be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock, Page Auditorium, Duke University, part of an event called Reflections on Charleston, a conversation on faith and race. But first, he joins me on the State of Things. Reverend Middleton, welcome to the State of Things. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Tell us more about Reverend Pinckney. I know he was passionate about his work as a pastor, but also work as a state senator in South Carolina. Can you tell us more about the man?
He was definitely a very precocious person from childhood. He was determined that he was going to rise from the very rural economy there in Jasper County to be somebody. He was very ambitious, even as one who matriculated through the public school system there in Jasper County and ended up at Allen University. He loved the AME Church, and as a result, through the AME Church, he was exposed to Allen University just based on that being the denominational school, and developed a love for the school, and therefore decided to go to college there. So that got him in Columbia. And while in Columbia at Allen University, it's the state capital, you know, he consumed politics, you know, even more avidly during that time, was a page in the state house, and really that fueled his lifelong pursuit and quest for public policy issues and becoming an elected official. And he was elected to the state house of South Carolina as a representative, as the youngest representative in the state of South Carolina at that time, and then subsequently later as a state senator.
What was his impression, his understanding of the role that religion would play in politics?
Well, he thought that religion and politics really were inseparable, you know, in that, you know, we have all these conversations about separation of church and state, but, you know, on our printed bills, we have In God We Trust. We put our hands on Bibles when we're sworn in for court proceedings. And so, again, the church, you know, becomes the moral, ethical voice, or becomes the prophetic witness, you know, for all of these sort of ethical or moral issues that occur in our society. And so he, as a politician, especially as a black church pastor, recognized that, you know, black church leaders, you know, were the individuals that really held political officials accountable. And when he became a politician himself, recognized that that was an extension, you know, to his ministry service, not only for the Lord, but for God's people who are oppressed, those who are subjugated, those who are in impoverished communities that needed a voice.
Reverend Middleton, how has your faith informed the way you're living your life and preaching now in these past 8 months since the shooting?
Well, you know, of course, we believe that, you know, God does not make mistakes. And, you know, God certainly, through our faith teachings, has us to know that, you know, if we die in Christ, we will be resurrected. And those who are in Christ, we will see one another again. And so through the eyes of faith, I recognize that death is not necessarily the end, but it's the beginning, because we, you know, strive to have eternal life where we would be with God and where we would be in bliss, peace, and eternal joy, happiness, in a state of where these issues that we experience here in this world will no longer ever exist. So there will be no more separation, no more divisions, you know, based on socioeconomic, racial, and or political lines. And so my faith continues to inform me that beyond this world, You know, we journey, we pilgrim in order to make this world a more reflective place of the utopic city of God, the New Jerusalem that we all will strive to live in one day.
What would you say to skeptics who would say, look, the AMA churches were started in the 18th century as a response to racially motivated violence? It's been centuries. There's a clear history of black churches, certainly in the South. But what would you say to a skeptic who would say, this approach isn't working?
Well, you know, again, you know, the church, the AME church, has a very rich history in social justice, in the social justice movement, in that, you know, we had no theological or doctrinal disagreements with the Methodist Episcopal Church. It was strictly based on the unfair treatment of black worshipers who wanted to pray to the same God that white individuals pray to. And they were pulled up off of their knees at the hour of prayer because they could not, you know, pray during that time because, of course, there were white parishioners that needed to pray. And so Richard Allen and those who were with him walked out of St. George Methodist Episcopal Church and founded the Free African Society, which then became the organization that gave birth to the AME Church. And so from that sort of peaceful demonstration that we will not take, you know, the unfair treatment, the oppression, you know, from, you know, majority cultures that continue to believe in the narrative that others who may be of different race, color, creed, socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, these individuals are less than, you know, that is a narrative that we cannot, we have to counter that. We cannot accept that. We cannot believe that a just God who knows that, you know, our faith teaches us, you know, shows no partiality, that a just God would permit, you know, such to happen when all of God's children should be created equal. And then under equal protections under the law, you know, that we all have a right, you know, to certain protections, and that is, you know, to be able to serve freely and worship freely without there being any scrutiny.
I am talking to the Reverend Kylon Middleton today on The State of Things. He is the pastor at Mount Zion AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and will be speaking tonight at Duke University. How has the conversation changed in the aftermath of those shootings? And has it, certainly in the immediate aftermath, there was a robust conversation. Has it continued, and do you think it's been productive?
The conversation has continued. It will not stop because, of course, there are still injustices, especially here in Charleston, South Carolina, where you have, you know, wage theft occurring, when you have inequities still occurring in public school systems, when you have individuals who cannot afford, you know, to live in the very city that they work in. There are still, you know, conversations to be had so that we might be able to level the playing field across the board so that everybody has, you know, the opportunity to a productive life in Charleston. So, you know, the conversations, I feel, have been formative because, of course, you know, we've not had these type open community-wide conversations before. Of course, Soledad O'Brien, Pharrell came down and facilitated one town hall meeting. Gwen Ifill came down and facilitated a town hall meeting. Individuals from A&E, from NBC, and, you know, their affiliates came down and facilitated some additional conversations. So, again, there are national dialogues that are being had because of what occurred here. The Illumination Project, which is a collaboration between the business leaders and civic-minded individuals, along with the Charleston Police Department, Greg Mullen, our former mayor, Mayor Riley, to look at policing practices and community relations in the city of Charleston, hopefully as a national model that would then begin to facilitate a greater respect, appreciation, and understanding among law enforcement personnel and the communities in which they serve that may not necessarily mirror or reflect, you know, those law enforcement personnel who are actually on the beat in those communities. So the conversations certainly, you know, go from one range to another, because when you have not had such conversations in all of the history of Charleston, especially, you know, with the backdrop of slavery, you know, being the impetus by which we have swept these conversations under the rug, you know, this market still exists downtown in Charleston where slaves were brought into this country and sold openly and treated like property and certainly not like citizens of the United States of America. So we have to recognize that it's not perfect, because, of course, these are early days in these conversations, but people are actively engaged in them. They are interested. They are showing up at forums and public meetings, you know, relative to these topics. There have been prayer vigils. The faith community, they have come together on all levels, from Christians, Jews, Muslims, and those who are non-believers. So, you know, here we have, you know, a very robust opportunity to really shape a public concept moving forward of racial reconciliation, peace, and equity.
Reverend Middleton, thank you so much for talking with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Reverend Kylon Middleton is pastor of Mount Zion AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. He was a good friend of Reverend Clementa Pinckney, who was killed at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston last summer. He and others, including Clementa Pinckney's wife, Jennifer, will be speaking at Duke University's Page Auditorium as part of an event hosted by the Franklin Humanities Institute. It's tonight at 7 o'clock. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the intersections of public health and social justice on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.